time to slap together another show. I'm glad I thought to bring along that terrific old Bob-a-rama show I've been planning for September 15th of 2001. Yeah, before that Bush crime family 9/11 payback knocked my schedule off the rails. Boy, guys, blowback's a bitch, huh? Yeah, where's that cobweb-covered pile of daub, steam, vinyl, and tapes I dragged to the new bunker? I knew it is. I am so smart. SMRT. SMRT. Wait a minute. This isn't my stuff. Where's Butt Gel Picnic? Where's Claw 2? Where's Successful Varmint Calling? These are all Christian ventriloquist albums. For the past year, I thought this was the all Bob blowout stuff. Oh no.
What's up, lame and angsty? Doing a show.
Oh, it's doing me. I thought we brought the Bob show material with us, but it's all crap.
Cool. Oh, my little Marcy and Gail and Ezra. I knew if I squirreled this way in place of yours, you'd bring it.
You witch! Oh!
Gotcha.
This is the reason I was going to be the only one to pack the escape pod, but no.
Escape pod? It was a U-Haul.
Don't I know it. You made me ride up half the eastern seaboard strapped to the side of it.
Hey, I wasn't the one who did a show so heinous that we had to leave town. An hour and a half of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da over and
hey,
over.
Hey, look,
and
I was
over.
A little low on ideas, okay?
Man, you're fast, girlfriend. Fresh out of your shallow grave and you ruined my brilliant track record.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
They call me the evil one. A U-Haul keel hauling was the least you had coming to it.
Well, thanks to you, girlfriend, we're both in the soup. We need to transmit something or we void our contract, okay?
It's a choice of words. But that hardly makes it my problem.
What do you mean? You switched the albums on me. The ones I need right now are in Atlanta, where I can't get at them. I can't find anything here in the Chesapeake Bay area, which, by the way, why the hell did you bring us up here anyway?
You got me madly impulsive.
Oh, I do, among other things.
Why don't you just do a show out of this crap I found at the bottom of that refrigerator box full of garter belts you schlepped along?
Well, what crap? There's only underwear
in it. I know there's a CD of songs the Lord taught us by the Cramps.
Ooh.
Some of that insane Christian demonism stuff that you haven't used. Look, it is almost Halloween. Just pat it.
I don't know.
Sure you can do it. Come on.
Why me, huh?
Well,
why not you?
I gotta go out on another run and catch some crabs for our dinner tonight.
You haven't lost the last case of them you got.
I gotta go to a Walmart and score some supplies.
What supplies?
Yeah, you know, stuff like another local map, more ammo, more camo, more canned ammo, a new gun sight, some spray paint, more ammo.
Hey, wait a minute. Well, you've got that evil look, evil Susie. You're up to something non-good. What are you gonna do with that spray paint?
I just thought I'd liven up our new ride with a really cool barbarian painting, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody's driving a white minivan these days.
I don't know about this.
Jeez, I knew I should have picked up Eileen Warnes for this job.
What job? Hey, what are you talking about?
Hey, look, Liz. Here's some old Lancer edition Conan paperbacks.
Ooh.
Just pick out a Frazetta to swipe, and I'll whack at the van up tomorrow with an epic sword and steroid tablet that'll make your eyes bleed.
Wow,
I guarantee.
This one would look good with bigger boobs on Conan.
And in the meantime, why don't you just slap together an appropriately demonic pre-Halloween episode of Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, and I'll be back in the morning.
Oh, all right. It's not like I've got a choice.
Good girl. Resistance is futile, huh?
You got that right. Hey, where are my tarot cards?
Catch you later. This is Reverend Susie the Floozy.
Inviting you to join us now as we take a brand new look at Halloween. We're going to hear from a very famous man who probably knows more about Halloween than anyone else. You'll find out why in just a minute.
Must you go? Oh, young hare, must you go? It is the eve of St. George's Day. Do you not know that tonight, when the clock strikes midnight, all the evil things in the world will have full sway? Do you know where you are going and what you are going to? Finally, she went down on her knees and implored me not to go. It was all very ridiculous, but I did not feel comfortable.
She obeys all the laws of the land, and she's very good at what she does, and she's a child of the evil one and would never say it that way.
To a Christian perspective on the occult and Satanism and their connection with the holiday we know as Halloween. In just a minute, we're going to hear Mike Warnke talk about what it means to be a Satanist high priest and what devil worshippers do. But just remember, this is what Mike did a long time ago, years ago. The Mike Warnke of today is working full time for Christ, spreading love and joy and laughter wherever he goes. Listen closely now, and you'll see what I mean.
During that time, I was involved in the other side of the spirit, the flip side of the coin, you know, the mirror image of Christianity, which is what the occult really is. And I was became interested through a lot of different things, like kids do, you know, games and fooling around and, you know, Ouija boards and seances at slumber parties and ghost stories at camp and junk like that. And then I think one of the things that really sparked my interest is when the program Bewitched came on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody that ever watched Bewitched is going to go out and get into the occult, but for me it was something, because of my, I guess, natural or supernatural curiosities, it really struck my fancy. And instead of just watching it as a situation comedy, I really watched it as a learning tool almost. And I used to sit with a notepad, and every time I would hear a remark or a comment or something mentioned that I didn't already know about or understand, well, I would take that down, and then I would look it up, and I'd go to the library, and I would check books out on it. So the whole time I was in high school, I was studying the occult and everything. I was able to maintain my study of the occult merely as a hobby. But when I started doing drugs, it was like Satan used drugs as a key to unlock my subconscious and let this spiritual thing come out through the soul and the flesh that I had been feeding, that had been laying there quietly, so as not to give itself away until it was in an atmosphere that was acceptable to it. And the drugs and everything led to the practice of Satanism. And so from the ages of 18 to 20, I was in the Satanist movement, and I was involved very heavily. The thing that he used to get me more or less involved, the drugs, was the very thing that robbed me of my ability to hold on to those things, because I became so strung out that I was burned out. And it was shortly after a drug overdose and everything like that that I became a Christian in the United States Navy. And I've been a Christian now for, well, I'm going on my 12th year.
I'm a Newton. That fucking phone is a nuisance phone.
Josh is in, where is this? Yerba City?
Ybor, man.
Ybor.
Yeah, Bob, I just wanted to say, you know...
No, sir, it's obviously you've made that as an ignorant decision. You didn't know beans about the Bible, and yet you're willing to reject God and the Bible. You don't know anything about it. But you can quote me Danzig lyrics, but you don't even know who wrote the Bible.
I don't care to know, neither.
Really?
I mean, as far as I was concerned, it's probably some jerk like you.
Josh?
Yeah?
Let me tell you something.
What?
What is this about the demons you have?
I have a demon in me, yes, Bob.
How did you get it?
Glenn Benton gave it to me.
How did you get it from Glenn?
He made me look in the mirror and do Bloody Mary and made me repeat a spell out of the Necronomicon.
What did you get?
Huh?
What did you get?
A demon.
Who?
Destroyer.
What does this demon do?
I can't control what he does, Bob.
Really?
That's right. I'll just let him go.
I want to tell you, Destroyer ain't nothing.
Yeah, he is.
He ain't nothing. He's nothing, sir. I want to tell you and tell him you are nothing, Destroyer. You understand? You are puny. You are weak. You're a wimp. You're nothing in the face of Jesus Christ. You are nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. Destroyer, you are nothing. The blood of Jesus Christ controls you. The blood of Jesus Christ rebukes you. You are nothing. You are nothing. You can't stand up.
I'm everything, Martin.
What?
I am everything.
No, you are nothing. You are nothing.
Yes, I am.
You understand?
No, Larson, you are nothing.
Yes, Jesus Christ is in me, and Jesus Christ is in me.
We're going to kill you, Larson.
No, you're not going to kill me. You're not going to touch me. No, you're not going to kill me. You can't touch my life. My life belongs to Jesus Christ. You can't do anything to me.
Have you hanging from a meat hook?
What?
Well, have you hanging from a meat hook?
Oh, hang me from a meat hook. Right. I want to tell you something.
Let your blood drain from your bloody neck.
I want to tell you something. Because I have redemption through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something.
That's wrong, Larson.
I want to tell you something.
What?
Your days are numbered.
My days are never numbered.
Your days are numbered.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No.
And this young man whose life...
No, you're not.
This young man whose life that you have, your days are numbered with him, too.
No.
He is hearing the truth of Jesus Christ.
No.
He is hearing the truth that his life amounts to something. He is hearing every day he listens to this show that there is hope, that his life can be different. You've got his ears and his mind blocked to a large extent now.
He listens to you 1 hour a day, Larson. He goes to coven meetings 3 weeks a night. 3 nights a week.
3 nights a week he goes to the coven?
Yes.
And he listens to me 1 hour a day. I want to tell you something. 1 hour of hearing about the mercy and grace and love of Jesus Christ could match up to... You get a little upset at the name of Jesus, don't you? You get a little upset when you hear about Jesus Christ and his blood, don't you?
I'll drink his blood.
No, you won't do any such thing.
Yeah.
Lie not to the Holy Spirit.
Lie not to me, Larson.
I hold you up before judgment.
Don't hold anything.
To the holy angels of God. I hold you to judgment to the holy angels of God.
This is not work, Larson.
Was this young man easy to get a hold of?
Yes.
Why? Why would he have called upon you?
Because he wanted me.
He does?
Yes.
Why doesn't he want his parents?
Because they suck.
What?
Because they suck.
What's wrong with his parents?
They're fools like you.
They what?
They're fools like you.
What do you mean they're fools?
That's exactly what I said.
By what right do you have him?
Because he is mine.
What right? What legal spiritual right? I said, what legal spiritual right do you have to him?
Because I have him.
No, that's not a legal spiritual right.
That's
a fact.
Mine.
No.
Yes.
No, if he were yours, he wouldn't be talking to me, and you wouldn't be talking to me, so he doesn't totally belong to you.
Yes.
Or we wouldn't even... No, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. Now, what is your legal spiritual right to him?
Because he called upon me.
Okay. Well, you may be right about that.
That's right.
But... if he calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved.
But he won't.
Really?
That's right.
Well, I've met more of your kind in the past on many occasions who have said the same thing.
He won't.
But the difference
is... He never has, and he never will.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes.
Don't underestimate the love of Jesus Christ.
Love of Jesus.
Hey, Destroyer?
What?
Even demons get bleeped by my profanity button.
I don't care.
Now, let me tell you something.
What?
You can't. No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Not for eternity, you can't.
Yes, I will.
No, you can't. We lay claim to his soul right now.
No, you don't.
The love of Jesus Christ.
Whilst he was speaking, the horses began to neigh and snort and plunge wildly. Then, amongst a chorus of screams from the peasants and a universal crossing of themselves, a carriage with four horses overtook us and drew up beside the coach. They were driven by a tall man with a long brown beard and a great black hat, which seemed to hide his face from us. I could only see the gleam of a pair of very bright eyes, which seemed red in the lamplight. He said to the driver, "You are early tonight, my friend."
"The Herr English was in a hurry."
"That is why I suppose you wished him to go on to Bukovina. You cannot deceive me, my friend." As he spoke, he smiled. The lamplight fell on a hard-looking mouth, with very red lips and sharp, looking teeth.
Let me give a little background on Halloween. I have a pretty extensive library of research material, and today I just looked up some facts about Halloween, and I knew these facts anyway, but I thought, you know, if I could quote some material here from books like the Encyclopedia of the Occult or the Satanic Bible, Dictionary of Satanism, and other books that are written by the Satanists, that would probably give people an idea of what Halloween is viewed as from their perspective. To us, it's just a fun holiday. Like most of our holidays, started out with a pagan origin. At least the way we celebrate them. And a lot of our holidays come from that. And Halloween is one that comes directly from them. It's the November 1st. Fire festival of the Druids supposedly happened around that time. Of course, they didn't have our calendar, but it was about the fall solstice, it's called, or the fall festival. On this particular time of year, it was like the first of the year for the Druids, and they had everybody extinguish their fires in the village. Now, in the days of the Druids, it wasn't easy to make a fire. You didn't just light a match, and people just banked their fires at night and had them burning all year long. Well, on the day of All Hallows' Eve, as it was called, the Druids had everyone in the priests, the Druid priests, had all the Celtic peoples put out all of their fires, and then they had to come to the Druids, who had this holy fire burning on their altar, to get new fire for the hearth, and the Druids charged them, and it was sort of the first collections. Anyway, they had this religious holiday, and in Ireland it was called a Samhain, and in Scotland, a Halloween. And so the Scottish translation is what we have today. Beginning of the witchcraft year. It is the first holiday. It is the beginning. It is the holiday that celebrates the beginning of destruction and the beginning of death, which is winter, the winter season. And it's long been a day when people thought of the dead and prayed for the dead. And in Scotland, they used to do oblations to the dead to keep their spirits away from them. And to protect themselves from demons and such, you see. And so they had all of this stuff going for them. And this is where trick-or-treat comes from. The people used to put food on their doorsteps for these evil spirits that would come around on Halloween night. And actually, it was also a time when the young people used to have bonfires in Scotland, and they used to play a game of picking their future spouses, and there were several ways to do that, by pulling a root, pulling a kale shoot out of the ground, and if you had a lot of dirt on there, it meant that your boyfriend or girlfriend was going to be prosperous and pretty, and if you didn't have much dirt, well, then they would be poor. And so the kids then they'd have these bonfires up in the hills, and the people would be really scared. They'd be in their houses, and they put all this stuff out to keep the demons and boogeymen away. And after the bonfires, the kids would come back down to the village and take all of these sweet goodies and all this stuff away, you know. So that's where trick-or-treat moment mainly comes from, and that's where the idea of tricks or treats. You either give the demons a treat, or they trick you, or, you know, come into your house, sour your milk, cause your cattle to die, ruin your well, things that demons did in those days, and witches. And also black cats, it's very... black cats is a symbol of Halloween. Well, that was for a witch's Sabbath in those days. They used to get there two ways. Either on a broomstick, which they were believed to be able to fly through the air on a broomstick, which is nothing more than levitation, which has been more or less talked about for centuries. And the other way was they had familiar spirits that embodied animals, and every witch had its familiar. And even when I was in witchcraft, we all had familiars. And I had a black cat. A friend of mine had an owl. Another person had a dog. But these animals were believed by us and prayed. We prayed that these animals would be embodied by a demon spirit. And then this spirit would be our familiar spirit and our demon helper, much as the Witch of Endor in the Bible had a familiar spirit. And these cats then were able to transform themselves into black horses on Halloween and carry their mistresses to these huge Halloween parties. And I quote the Satanic Bible. Quote, and this is Anton Sandor LaVey writing, who's the head of the Church of Satan.
And Hokey Pokey sat down on a stoop and cried. And a monster came out of his house and heard him crying. And he said, little boy, how come you're crying? And Hokey Pokey said, nobody will be my friend. And the monster said, me and the other monsters will be your friends. And he invited him down into his club basement. Hokey Pokey. And he invited him down into his basement. Hokey pokey. And when they got down there, the party was already going on. Hokey pokey. And one monster gave him a cup of punch. Hokey pokey. And they were bobbing for apples and playing charades. Hokey pokey. And Hokey pokey found out that he wasn't afraid. Hokey pokey pokey. Hokey pokey did the monster mash. And that's what it's all about.
But the only one of the holidays that we have, seasonal holidays that we have, that really has kept the pagan connotation, like trick-or-treating and the witches and the spooks, the demons, the boogeyman, the devil, is Halloween. And as such, I think it's one that we could do without, personally. I know a lot of people say, well, what do I tell my kids? You know, everybody else's kids trick-or-treat. Well, first of all, I wouldn't let my kids trick-or-treat because there's too many cuckoos out there putting razor blades in apples and LSD on cookies and dope and stuff, a lot of flakes out, hurting kids on Halloween, so I wouldn't let my children trick-or-treat, and I have some, so I know what I'm talking about, and the other thing is, I know that we go along with a lot of concepts that have been handed down as traditional, but, you know, we have to take a stand somewhere. It's like saying, well, all the kids are smoking dope, and, you know, I don't want to really come down on my kid, or all the kids are going out and going to the sex parties. Well, I don't want to come down on my kid. Well, maybe Halloween isn't as serious as that. But, you know, as parents, I think we have the right to say, no, you can't do that. And I've been able to successfully do that with my children.
What? No more trick-or-treating or dressing up in costumes? Sounds like we're trying to take all the fun out. You may ask, are we supposed to just forget it and pretend like it never was? Now, that'd be kind of hard to do, wouldn't it? But still, in all, if what Mike says is true, and the devil thinks of Halloween as his special holiday, then we as Christians certainly don't want to give Satan any shelter, do we?
So, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, there's a biblical example that says, don't mess with this business of exorcism. Now, another word about that. Demons don't react to human voices raised in many decibel shrieks, screams, or roars. Every single case where you see Jesus Christ of Nazareth giving a command, he merely gives the command and the demon is forced to obey. Now you will see these clowns getting on Sunday morning television and claiming to, you know, rebuke demons, and they've always got to just scrunch up their face, and they've got to screw their eyes down, and they've got to make all these, you know, intense gestures and gesticulations and faces with their face in their hands like they're really just fighting somebody, and they're rebuking the devil. And you notice the way they do it? Oh, they've got to just get their voices in just such a way. Oh, we rebuke thee. And, you know, they just go crazy. Demons don't care about that. Demons are not afraid of baseball bats, burning fish, bad smells, hot or cold apartments. You know, you don't stay around somebody for 24 hours like some of these examples that you will read of in this booklet about what you should know about demon possession, where people say that you've got to be prepared for horrible odors, you've got to be prepared for foul language, you've got to be prepared for urination and defecation, you've got to be prepared for things that the human mind doesn't even want to imagine, and you're going to be there for 28, 48, 65 hours until finally this demon comes out of this person.
You come down here and you wind up with a pitchfork in your ass.
Ted, it's the roughest one I ever run up on.
Hard case.
I ain't never seen one like this. All right, lady, open up your mouth. Come on, lady, open it up wider. Bigger.
No, you're not going down in that lady's mouth.
Karen. This is an inside job.
Hair-raising junk. I hate to even tell you a little bit about it. I'll give you just a very little bit in this tape now and all that I ever want to say about it, because it's not the type of thing that I want to go into, because he detailed some of the most chilling and horrifying events that you can imagine. The aberrant behavior of the possessed, as well as the various supernatural phenomena occurring during exorcism, which, frankly, I think demons like. I think they enjoy it. I think the people who get involved in that kind of thing are playing directly into the hands of Satan the devil. But some of these things that occurred are in some ways similar to the fictional story of little Reagan, the 12-year-old demoniac of the film entitled The Exorcist. Furniture moving around, clothes moving around, doors slamming, beds jumping around here and there, all kinds of things happening, like freezing temperatures in the room, although the rest of the house was warm. Sometimes levitation, things floating around in the room. And, of course, sometimes horrible odors and horrible sounds. Well, that's all I want to say about it, but it's covered in some detail in the booklet about what you should know about demon possession. The lesson is clear. If you value your life, if you value your peace of mind, your tranquility, and your very sanity, your mental and emotional health and well-being, then stay away from that kind of thing. Don't go pick up books about it. Don't read it. Don't dwell on it. Don't get your mind on it. Avoid anything that resembles the occult, including this New Age spiritualism. And remember that Almighty God condemns every such thing. Seances, mediums, people who peep and mutter, dark secrets, crystal balls, tarot cards, Ouija boards, all this kind of thing, palmistry, etc., the magicry and the gimmickry of people who claim to be mediums or psychics, it is tampering with Satan the devil and with his minions, who are demons, and you ought to stay as far away from that kind of thing as you possibly can.
I was wrong. I was deceived. The millions of New Agers who are following the channelers and the mediums and the psychics and the tarot card readers and the palm readers and the crystal gazers and all the rest of it, these people are well-meaning and sincere, but deceived. On what basis do I say that? If there's no source of absolute truth, if there is no personal God who has said, guess what, folks, I'm God and you're not, and seeing as I'm God, whether you like it or not, I get to make some of the rules, and here they are. Keep your cotton picking mittens off the occult. This is a loose translation of Deuteronomy 18.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. The important thing to remember here is that it's not what we think Halloween is. It's what the devil thinks of it and how the devil relates to Halloween that's important. And what's even more important is how we as Christians celebrate this time of year. Do we continue to support Satan by helping him celebrate one of his high holidays?
The end justifies means, and you talk to people who do these spook shows, and you say, hey, is this really in the best traditions of Christianity? Is this what we are portraying as Christian organizations? Fear and spooks and vampires and werewolves and electric shocks and Frankenstein monsters and...
Vampire contingent place that, or a man, or a wolf, or a rodent. If you have a dog, watch out. Watch your dog. If you have a cat, be careful. Dogs have things, cats have things. They may not be vampires, but they could be. It's probably all right.
should be okay. But who knows? Who really knows? The empire can change into a lot of things. It has powers that we don't even know about. Dogs have fangs and cats have fangs. I mean, they might not be vampires. I mean, the chances are that they're probably not vampires, but... I mean, it's probably all right. I mean, chances are that it's safe, but... I mean, it should be okay, but... But who knows? I mean, who really knows? We're living in a world gone wrong. In a world gone very wrong. I mean it. It should be okay. Let's try to see if it's alright. I'm sure it'll be okay.
And people and houses and things that are really inhabited by demonic forces. And when you're talking about haunted houses, that's what you're talking about.
My friend, welcome to the Carpathians. I am anxiously expecting you. At 3 tomorrow, the coach will start for Bukovina. At the Borgo Pass, my carriage will await you and will bring you to me. I trust that you will enjoy your stay in my beautiful land. Your friend, Dracula.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I'm soaking wet. I'm hopelessly lost, and I'm scared out of my gourd.
Good evening.
Oh, friendly face. Oh, am I glad to see you.
I'm Count Dracula. How do you do?
I'm so scared, I almost died.
Well, slip me some skin and step inside. Come over by the fireplace and dry off. You're soaking wet.
Oh, I know. I lost my raincoat right through the silly bushes out there.
Those are not bushes. Those are man-eating plants.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Thank you.
Guys, how does a thing like that work? Oh, you're teasing. You're putting me on.
I wouldn't put you on, Drew, sir. I'm not here to shock and jive.
You know, I hate to be a drag, but I'm just starved.
You'd like a bite.
Oh, Jack, hold me. Oh, look outside the window.
Don't sweat it, Bruce. That's the wolfman skulking around the bushes.
Why, you bloodsucker. You told me that you're a man-eating plant.
Look, he's wearing your raincoat.
Oh, I'm going to have wolf hair all over my raincoat. Oh, my God. Look at those bodies in that room.
Don't let them frighten you, Bruce. Those are all empties.
You're not talking about, you know, places where Dracula lived. You know, Dracula. Okay, Dracula is a real person, or was a real person. There really is a Castle Dracula. It is in Romania. It was inhabited by a personage by the name of Vlad the Impaler in the Middle Ages, who was a bloodthirsty person. The term vampirism is a term that simply denotes a person who has a blood or flesh fetish. You could say that the people in the concentration camps in Germany were vampires. The people that made lampshades out of tattooed skin and stuff, they were vampires. They had, that is what a vampire is also. Now, the Count Dracula thing is, that was written by a fellow by the name of Bram Stoker, originally in German and translated, and Stoker created Count Dracula, the Bela Lugosi character that we know. I think that this is a mask worn by Satan. That this is a mask worn by Satan to really cover over and make fantastic the activity of demons in people's lives that would make them do these things. It masks them over and gives it kind of a Hollywood comic, if you know, stick a cross in his face or expose him to the sun, it's all gone.
Some of you have never been through this. Some of you cheap shot armchair theological quarterbacks are just saying, well, you know, if you had the power of God, you'd just tell that thing to shut up. Anybody who says that is truly ignorant of what spiritual warfare is about and has never really been through it. And any of these hotshot preachers who snap their fingers and say, you know, you can just cast these things out like that, I want to tell you, those guys don't know beans what they're talking about. They have never been in the trenches of spiritual warfare. So you just forget what your favorite television evangelist has told you about demons. Folks, this is the real thing right here. This is not some radio preacher, some television evangelist telling you a story. This is a real thing.
Oh, I'm nuts.
And Josh is, has called back today. Josh?
Yeah. I don't know what you did yesterday. This morning I woke up, found myself face down in the middle of the interstate in a median.
You what? Face down on the interstate?
Yeah, in the middle of the median.
Who, you found yourself there?
Yeah. Woke up there.
You just can't. What's the last thing you remember before that?
Talking to you.
That's it?
That's it.
You were laying there in the middle of the highway?
That's it.
What's been going on since you found yourself there?
I've walked about 23 miles to a friend of mine's house down the interstate. A friend of mine's Mark's house is where I'm at now.
Where?
A friend of mine, Mark's house in Lakeland.
Do you understand what happened yesterday at all?
No. I don't.
Do you know who Destroyer is?
Yeah, he's the demon inside of me.
Well, do you remember our conversation?
Part of it.
What's the last thing you remember?
You telling me Destroyer was nothing, and as far as I can remember, I started puking, and I don't know what happened after that.
Well, if you woke up in the middle of the freeway, the chances are there was an attempt to kill you. That's the last thing we heard before the spirits hung up and said, I'm going to go kill Josh.
I don't know. I mean, they've been coming through me all day, trying to throw me out in traffic and stuff. At one point, I felt myself hanging over an overpass, hanging on.
I want to help you, but you've got to understand a couple of things first.
What?
That Destroyer and the others with him want to kill you. I mean, their ultimate purpose is to kill you.
Yeah.
That's why they came into you. They will only use any person for just a period of time, as long as that person serves their purposes, and then Jesus Christ said, Satan comes to kill and destroy, period. That's his intent. So whatever he does in a short span of time in the interim, just to, you know, kind of string you along, is just to get you where he wants you, to the point where he can kill you.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to know you're making a friend.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Josh?
Yeah.
But the best friend that you can make is Jesus Christ. You have to understand, I have no control, no authority, no ability to do anything with Destroyer or the others with him, except through Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
That's the bottom line. It is Christ. So you're looking to me as a human instrument. But remember, I am just flesh and blood, and I am just an instrument. It is God that you have to look to.
Okay.
I can only tell you that God loves you, and the testimony to that now is the fact that you and I are having this conversation. And the fact that I did that show yesterday out of the clear blue sky, it wasn't something that was planned, it was something that God laid on my heart the night before.
Yeah.
And so all of these things are just miraculous circumstances that have put you and me in touch with each other so that something might be able to be done about this. All right?
Yeah.
Now, something can be done about it, but it's real simple.
What?
It requires the total cooperation of your will.
Uh-huh.
And it isn't just a matter of getting rid of Destroyer. It's a matter of your wanting to make real changes in your life.
Okay.
Real changes. To believe that after all the hurt, all the disappointment, all the garbage you've been through, that positive things can happen to you.
Okay.
And we can deal with this situation. Now, whether we can totally complete it now is not as much of the issue as to whether or not we can bring it to a point where we can make sure the Destroyer isn't going to destroy you, and we can get on with the job of finishing this thing off.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, Josh?
Yeah?
Do you want help?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you, Josh, want to keep Destroyer or get rid of him?
Get rid of him.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask you to say a couple of things for me, okay?
Okay.
And if Destroyer tries to take over, I want you, Josh, to keep talking, okay?
Okay.
If Destroyer tries to take over, you just stay talking with me.
Okay.
I want you to say, I, Josh.
I, Josh.
Do not.
Do not.
Want.
Want.
Destroyer.
Destroyer.
Now, is there someone else there with you, Josh?
Yeah, Mark, my friend.
Well, is he a friend?
Yeah.
Does he understand what's going on?
I don't think he understands about what's been happening to me.
Okay, but is he going to interfere in any way?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Now say, I, Josh.
I, Josh.
Want Destroyer.
Want Destroyer.
To leave me.
To leave me.
To leave my body.
To leave my body.
To leave my mind.
To leave my mind.
To leave my spirit.
To leave my spirit.
I, Josh.
I, Josh.
Ask.
Ask.
That part of me.
That part of me.
Destroyer holds.
That what, Bob?
Destroyer holds.
Destroyer holds.
To be replaced.
To be placed.
To be replaced.
To be replaced.
And filled.
And filled.
Instead.
Instead.
With love.
Love.
Hope.
Hope.
Peace.
Peace.
And the Holy.
And the Holy.
Spirit. 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 Say it, Josh.
I'm going to kill him, Bob.
No, you're not going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him, Bob.
You're not going to kill him.
Yes, I'm going to kill him.
Destroyer, you will speak. Destroyer, you will speak when you're spoken to. You are under the authority of Jesus Christ. You are under the authority of Jesus Christ.
I have no authority.
I call Josh.
No.
I call Josh. Destroyer?
Yes.
If you were in control, we wouldn't even...
I'm in control.
No, Destroyer, we wouldn't even be having this conversation today if you were in control. Josh?
No, this is not Josh.
I want Josh to speak to me.
I don't want to.
Christ commands it.
No.
Christ commands it.
I don't want to kill him, Martin.
You are interfering with the will of God, Destroyer.
I am interfering with no will.
You are interfering with the will of God. You have no authority to... No, you will not take his life.
I'm living his game now.
He has stated he does not want you.
I'm going to kill you, Bob.
No, you're not going to kill him.
Yes.
No, you're not.
I'm going to kill him.
No, you're not. No, no.
Yes, I will kill him, Bob.
Josh?
Yeah?
You there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I want to tell you, friend. God is doing some wonderful things. Now, this is war. This is a fight, okay?
Uh-huh.
And when you get in war, sometimes you get shot and you get wounded and you get bruised.
Uh-huh.
So this isn't going to feel very good.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to get beat up a little bit here. But you know what?
I already have.
You know what, Josh?
What?
God loves you very much, and God is in control of this.
Uh-huh.
And this destroyer is not in control. Now, Josh, I want you to know I care about you. We're going to do everything we can to help you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, don't you worry, friend. You just relax as much as you possibly can, all right?
Yeah, I'm laying here on his waterbed.
Okay. All right.
Oh, God. I got a leg cramp, Bob.
Okay. Well, that's not uncommon. They will do that from time to time. But that's a distraction.
Okay.
They will try to cause pain in various parts of your body to get you mentally distracted. Okay? So understand what's going on. This is a fight. This is a war.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Josh?
Yeah.
Now, Josh?
Yeah.
I want to ask you. Josh?
Yeah?
You got to get that radio down in the background. Your friend's got to turn that radio
down. Mark, turn the radio down, man.
Okay. And he can listen just quietly in the other room. Now listen, Josh, I want you to say, I, Josh.
I, Josh.
Renounce.
Renounce.
Destroyer.
Destroyer.
I want.
I want.
In my life.
In my life.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Christ. You can say it, Josh. Say Christ. People are praying for you. People are praying for you. I know he's making you nauseous and making you want to throw up. You can say Christ. Destroyer, loose his tongue by the authority of Christ.
No. I won't let him.
He said Jesus.
No.
He said Jesus.
No, I will kill him tonight.
No, you won't kill him.
Yes, I will, Bob. I will kill him.
No, you won't kill him.
Yes, Bob.
No, you won't kill him.
I'll kill him now.
No, you won't kill him now. You can't kill him now. He said, I want Jesus.
I'm looking bad, Bob.
Spirit, you are subject to the authority of Jesus Christ.
I have no authority.
Spirit?
What?
You have no right to his life.
I have every right to take his life.
No, no, he said he doesn't
want
you. He said he doesn't want you. He's renounced you.
Never.
Now, you see, all you're doing now, Spirit, is you're trying to fight a fight that's already been lost.
That's right.
He doesn't want you. Now, once he says he doesn't want you and he renounces you, then you don't have any legal right to stay there.
I have every right.
No, you don't. You're going to assert that right, but you don't have that right.
No,
no, you don't.
I have every right.
No, you don't. If you have a right, confess what it is before the holy angels of God. Confess it. Confess it. Ready? Josh? Josh?
No, Bob. I'm going to kill him, Bob.
I demand to speak to Josh. I'm going to kill
him.
No, you're not cutting his wrist right now. You're not doing any such thing. I'm going to give this back to the referral operator. But I'm trying to discern the difference between what I can do to deal with this demon and what I need to do not to let the demon have an unnecessary platform to make its braggadocious claims about what it intends to do to this young man. Now, there's no question that it intends to kill him. The demons will lie. They will twist things. They will, as I said a moment ago, try to distract with physical pain. They will make the person sometimes nauseous. Now, these things don't always happen in every case. This is a particularly serious, violent case. And they'll make them nauseous. They may make them throw up. And all of this is distracting. The person can't think straight. They don't know how to deal with what's going on. Their mind is in incredible mental pressure. Their whole body is experiencing physical pain. Some of you have never been through this.
Well, if you don't like it, then please leave. Get out of here.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, this
cost me $80
an hour. Please leave. Now, get out of here. Now.
Let me have my studio to myself.
I'm not afraid to
Frankenstein. Frankenstein that was written by Mary Shelley, Percy Bysshe Shelley's wife. She was a cocaine addict and wrote it while she was sitting on her mother's grave. I don't want to say that Miss Shelley was weird, but when Shelley died, he was drowned. And she went down to the beach and cut his heart out, burned the rest of the body, and kept his heart in a box. And this is the woman that wrote Frankenstein, the story of the monster.
Well, that just about wraps up our program. I sure hope you've enjoyed A Christian Perspective on Halloween. It's our hope and prayer that we've been able to give you some new insights into the way we celebrate Halloween. I'd like to close with a quote from the Bible that may help you to decide to change your Halloween celebration into a fall party or a harvest party. The quote is this.